Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
electronically enhanced science. Peter Colin Hill, Glenbrook Advanced Concepts Institute, Glenbrook, NSW, Australia. Abstract: the reasons we use demonstrations to teach science and the scale of organization required by schools to deliver them are outlined. The demonstration of the deflection of an electron beam with a bar magnet is chosen as an example that illustrates the benefits of migration to smart technology. The demonstration is integrated into a portable box that houses battery power supply, computer control, and Wi-Fi connection. The design for manufacturability is explained. The progress to fill identified gaps in the market is reported. Introduction: every high school holds at least 500 demonstrations. It is their body of evidence to show students that science works. To understand how they do this, we shall consider three questions. First, why use demonstrations? They make science real. If the explanation has been put forward, then seeing is believing. If not, students are intrigued and are moved to ask, "I wonder what causes that?" It is nature's testimony. A demonstration that the student performs themselves is called a practical. The reason for using demonstrations is that they form an authentic foundation for understanding. Second, how do we get students to benefit from the greatest number of these demonstrations? There is a well-honed system that takes demonstrations out of storage, presents them, and returns them. They are cycled through in a sequence that coherently enriches the syllabus being delivered. Students experience a significant number of demonstrations because of a system that has been incrementally developing over many years. To get a feel for the scale of this operation, we will develop a back-of-the-envelope sketch. A typical high school of 1,000 students will have 6 levels of classes, 6 classes in each level, requiring 2 demonstrations a week, over 36 instruction weeks. In New South Wales, there are over 800 high schools, directly employing over 1,000 specially trained staff to manage demonstrations. We do not feign to be accountants but offer an estimate based on consumables, wages, and on costs of $65 million AUD. This is in the context of a 2019 budget of $18.5 billion AUD. Third, at the end of the day, where do these high-impact demonstrations, delivered by a well-honed system, get students? The standard proviso, "When you get to university you will be told to forget everything you ever learned at school," indicates that the answer to this question is not simply a quality understanding. There is often an alignment between an accessible textbook description, past exam papers, online and peer teacher inputs, responses to exam questions that get high marks, and misconceptions. Year after year, students draw electrons smaller than the nucleus. They also think clocks on a train appear to run at the same speed approaching and receding from the observer. These ideas are wrong but correct in the educational frame of reference, and so get rarely challenged. There is notionally interest in feedback from scientists, but it is hard for a teacher to comprehend the significance of what is being said. This paper tells the story of moving on from a strategy of piecemeal feedback to figuratively placing a "under new management" sign on the demonstrations. Electronic enhancement of demonstration use programmable logic controls, PLC, and computers built in with the demonstration to bring in expertise in the presentation and support material. The same electronics allow migration of demonstrations into a modern asset management system. These reductions to practice steps will be covered after a discussion of the development methodology. First, there is a review of misconceptions. The aim is to provide a natural path from favored misconceptions to scientific rigor. Second, method of scientific induction is used to test hypotheses in the form of prototypes to establish plausible development directions. Finding killer apps. Placing demonstrations in regularly shaped boxes with tracking telemetry connected to the web will facilitate storage and retrieval. If this were proposed in 1960, it would be seen in the realm of science fiction. Now it is a speculative application. Uber, the cashless economy, RFID library management were speculative 10 years ago. With the technology for detailed inventory control well established, there are other considerations keeping business as usual. On the ground, in the physical prep rooms, staffed by laboratory assistants, run on established costs. A typical order might be for a bag of balloons and markers for a practical student activity demonstration of expanding space. Galaxies are drawn on the surface of the balloon and move away from each other more rapidly the further they are from each other. Because the salaries and consumables are prepaid, it is thought of as being for free. Entrepreneurs who are ahead of the market navigate through this situation by asking, what is the killer app? Although killer app is an informal term in common use, it requires definition, a feature, function, or application of a new technology or product which is presented as virtually indispensable or much superior to rival products. Killer app 1, reduced misconceptions. Electronically enhanced science demonstrations could dramatically reduce misconceptions, directly by improving the quality of concepts and indirectly by educating students in the scientific method. As an example, we will look at quantum spin of electrons causing a pendulum to rock. Its formal title is the Einstein-De Haas experiment. This working prototype was developed as it is not accessible for demonstration without electronic enhancement. The current capability is seen in a clear plastic box that, on being powered, demonstrates the oscillation via a laser beam that emerges through the lid. Battery versions will simply detect its environment and begin working on voice command. The following discusses plausible design intent to deliver the killer app of reduced misconceptions. The teacher on planning the lesson selects the demonstration from a drop-down list. In storage, the unit self-tests confirming its availability. A red dot badge on the student's education phone app alerts them to preparatory material. A folder of texts, videos, and adaptive podcasts are now accessible to students. The accessible podcast we have so far developed works like this: a core text document has preview, lesson, point explanations, question relating, correct answer, alternatives. This text is sliced to deliver a range of customized podcasts that are read by Google WebNet text to speech. The language, accent, speed, and pitch can be customized by the student. Student response can be phone screen or voice recognition. We have trialed proof of principle using the touch screen on a gym treadmill. At the lesson, the unit can address the students directly synchronized with electronic whiteboard display. The components named and illuminated. Using information gained from the preliminary work of students, the unit can ask questions by name. Although there is a clear advantage of teachers explaining expert opinions rather than experts explaining teacher explanations, there is provision to wind back the science. As different misconceptions are selected, warning explanations are provided. The content provided is peer-reviewed and, like any online software, regularly updated.
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.